Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
Sorry, you haven't been on Rolling Stone in 4 hours. Like, we've logged you out, logged back in.
Yeah, no more security than NASA.
Yeah.
God, this profile is an absolute behemoth.
It is. Are we on? Are we live?
Yeah, I'm
oh
rolling.
My God. Oh,
I'm
my
rolling.
God.
Hi.
Oh, I like it. It's sort of, you know.
We're easing our way in.
Getting everyone getting a little peek behind the curtain.
Also, the way that you switch to being on is so incredible.
Putting my clown nose on. I'm like, honk, honk, hi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome
oh my
back.
God. Welcome.
Uncover Girl. We are so happy to be here, though. I feel like I have so much to tell you.
I have so much to say. I have an unbelievable amount to say. First 3 hour long episode.
Yeah, do you want to kick off? I mean, please.
Well, huge celebration in the community. Me and Steven are officially both employed.
That's huge.
It's been a long time.
Yep.
We have fully traveled back in time to when we first met, which is sort of the sweetest.
Full circle.
When I tell you, I'm like, when do you get off? Can you bring me back some pad thai?
Okay. I've been meaning to ask you this for a long time.
Yeah.
Can you tell me or just like walk me through the nuances of like staff meals? Like, what are you eating? What are you ordering?
Of course.
What are they offering?
Of course. Okay. So family meal, which is customary at restaurants. It's basically a way for the restaurant to, one, get rid of random food, and to feed people en masse, in bulk.
Right.
And so basically what happens is they mix together a medley of random stuff in the back of the kitchen, and it's called family meal. And
do you think that kind of like, fuck.
Oh,
I hate sure that we have to do this.
For sure. There are certain days, especially because like they have to do it even when they're slammed. So it doesn't really matter. It's like on a slow day, it's like, okay, yeah, whatever. We'll, you know, do some chicken or whatever it might be. But then also there are restaurants that just let you order from the menu. So like one of my friends is working at a restaurant, and at the end of every shift,
yeah,
she just gets to order something and take it home.
So that was my experience. I only worked weekends in hospitality, and they only gave us family meals. But during the week, if you were on weekdays, you got to order whatever you wanted, which I like thought was a travesty and a crime.
Yeah, of course.
It sucked. And it was one of those things where someone would be like, so how's the Eggs Benedict? Would you get? And I'd be like, I've never tried a fucking thing because I'm only here on the weekends. I can't review for you. I'm
no.
Like, it's amazing. Probably the Belgian waffles, though, if it was me.
Yeah. Well, my favorite thing is that I've circled all the most expensive things in the menu, and those are the only things I recommend.
You are genius.
I'm like, why on earth am I telling people to order fries?
No, it's the duck with caviar.
It's the hamachi crudo. I'm like, oh my God, it's amazing. And there's only 4 pieces in it, so guaranteed after they eat it, they're still hungry.
Diabolical.
Yeah. No, of course. This is the thing. In my life, I'll tell the truth. In my work, I will lie.
No.
I will lie until the ends of the earth.
No, that's why they're all actors. Because it's like built in.
The sea bass?
It's frankly Machiavellian to be recommending anything above $30.
Yeah.
It's just cruel.
It really is.
But look, these people that are on company cards, they don't give a fuck.
No. Yeah. No. And also, I'm now realizing so often, do you know when you're at a restaurant, do you ask waiters for recommendation?
I ask them if I've ordered well. I'm like, does that sound good?
I'll ask like between this or this.
Oh, sometimes, yes, I'll do that. But if I'm between two dishes, absolutely.
Yeah. And I appreciate the ones that tell the truth. And I'm now not one of them.
Yeah.
But it depends. If someone is being really sweet, like if I'm vibing with a table, I will tell the truth. I'll be like, I wouldn't do that one. I would do the other.
Yeah, it's all about the energy.
Yeah. And there are like a couple glasses of wine. Like the cheapest rosé is actually the tastiest one. And so like I'm not going to steer people into the one that's double the price for a worse glass of rosé. I just can't do it.
And customers can smell when you're trying to upsell them. Like it's, you can sniff it out.
Yeah. The one I'm most successful at, my real skill is selling desserts because of our penchant for sweets. That's the one thing I'm really able to get people who've like never considered ordering. I'm like, and warm chocolate chip cookies for the table. And they're like,
That's good. That's good. I cooked this week.
Oh my God.
I was on a business trip. I made two meals.
What did you make?
Like a breaded chicken on top of a Caesar salad.
Yum.
And then I made like a shredded buffalo chicken wrap with, but the wrap was cheese and zucchini. I can't believe.
Wait. Back it up.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
The wrap was made of cheese and zucchini?
It was a mozzarella base with a zucchini layer and then a buffalo chicken. Then you roll it into a wrap.
That sounds amazing.
I know, I saw it on Instagram. Oh. I actually have never made a chicken breast in my life before this. I'd never touched one. Let alone seasoned.
It's kind of crazy. Don't you feel like you're back in the hills?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And that feels like an incredibly privileged thing to admit. But in reality, it's just because I buy the packs of pre-shredded chicken because I've always been like, this seems like an impossible task to ever turn something raw into something cooked.
No. And I mean, chicken breasts especially because most of them turn out dry.
Everyone's like, well, I got food poisoning. Like if the pink is in the sink, it's just not. Do you think again?
Yeah.
You know? But I had a friend over and I cooked her dinner. And okay, I think my New Zealand roots pop out when you least expect, which is that I'm very laissez-faire about certain things. Like one of them being bugs. You know, I saw a rattlesnake the other day. I was like, nice to see you. I just that kind of stuff doesn't really faze me. But I pulled out one of the plates from our cupboard and there was a dead cockroach in. And I was like, oh, and I just swiped it out and I put the plate down. And she was like, what? Are you not gonna put that plate away? And I was like, no, it's fine. It just there's just a dead cockroach in there. I'll have that one.
Yeah.
And she was like, what? Just get away from me. And I feel like that is very distinctly American. Cleanliness and safety are the two biggest things for sure.
Yeah.
In this country.
We take it too far, I think.
Well, you love a gated community. I'd never heard of that until moving here.
That's so embarrassing. It really is.
No, I think it's the victim comp, the white girl victim. I think it all kind of feeds back into this. It's like true crime. It's like, how safe is this neighborhood? How good is this school? Although I did see a coyote walking down the street the other day at 6 p.m. and then jump into someone's yard, Ivana. Jump into someone's yard. And we let our cats out and about. That's another thing that we do that people are like, no. But that's how I grew up with my cats living their best lives.
Yeah.
And I had to keep them inside. I had to put Dimitri in my backpack and take him for a walk just to, you know, quiet the voices because he was so distressed about being inside.
Oh, no, coyotes are real. And PSA, they can jump 6-foot fences. I almost cut one with my hands walking down the streets of Chicago.
What?
Which California, they're all over. They're all over the hills. They're absolutely running through Silver Lake in the night. I would see packs outside of my window.
Of course.
But Chicago wasn't expecting to see one. Didn't think I was seeing one at all. In fact, I thought I was seeing a stray dog. I was walking home from work one day from the bars.
Yeah.
I see a dog running towards me and I was like, oh my God, stray dog. I'm going to see, hopefully he has a collar. I get down with my arms outstretched to try to kind of stop him or at least come here. And I realize as he's 2 feet away from me, I'm like, that's not a dog. That's a coyote. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to catch you.
No.
And he just ran right by me.
Myth is that they only come out at night, but alas, they do not. They are roaming the streets.
How did Dimitri like his excursion?
He was happy in his bag.
He was in a backpack?
He was in his cat backpack. He was strapped in with his harness.
He seemed happy.
But can I tell you my real inspiration for the week? It goes back to the Kiwi, the New Zealand dryness. Chris says some pretty verging on problematic jokes, and he gets away with it, I think, because he's tall and straight and has an accent. You know, it really goes far. People are just like, that silly goose. Anyone else, it's like, canceled, I think. He went on a work trip and he saw one of his older colleagues that he hasn't seen in a year or so. And this guy has lost a lot of weight. And Chris turns to a bunch of his coworkers and goes, oh, Doug's been on that Ozempic diet, hey? And they go, actually, he's recovering from cancer.
Oh. Oh.
Chris was like, as soon
Let
as the words
this be a lesson to you.
As soon as the words left my mouth, I knew that I had done wrong.
Oh my God. Such a funny joke to deliver to a room full of like middle-aged engineers.
Yeah,
who are funnier there than anywhere else.
Also, like, he is very much in an insulated bubble with me where like these are topics that we talk about. We live in Hollywood, like Ozempic use is rampant. Like it's very topical. But among a bunch of 50 to 60-year-old engineers in San Jose, I mean, it's wrong crowd. And for two, I don't know if anyone's weight loss, we should just default to the old pen.
Yeah. We can't. Also, 99.9% of the time when I see someone and they've lost significant weight.
Yeah.
They've just lost a family member. Something horrible has happened in their lives. They're dealing with tragedy of some kind. Very rarely is it because they're like, I'm doing the best I've ever been.
Yeah. Or they have started with good intentions and now they're very much down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Like there's just no, it's not very chill in any way. I love that he took it there.
I love it. I love to imagine this happening.
Oh no. But it was the most inspiring thing I've heard.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's really, really powerful.
Just to take more risks, you know?
Yeah.
Comedically.
I love that. Yeah. No, I love that.
You looking for a transition out of this? Like, you know what?
No, I'm just thinking about comedic risk. I feel like it's been top of mind because obviously I'm like more out in the world now than I have been. So I'm overhearing conversations constantly now. It's not that I was so in the home before, but I'm realizing like it's a different thing to be out in public at all times.
And social battery wise, like it's a big undertaking.
Yeah. I just like am overhearing so many conversations and just, I hate to say this.
What?
So few people are funny. So few. I know. So few.
The worst is when they think they're funny and they expect a laugh. And for me, it's akin to an orgasm. I just cannot get it over the line. No. I can't sell a laugh.
No.
It often comes out for me like,
you know when I'm fake laughing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like not a tooth is showing.
No. No.
Not a sparkle in an eye. Just absolutely dead.
Yeah. And I've been hearing a lot of women fake laughing.
No.
Just guffawing. They're just like,
it's that whole thing of on a date, you're like, did I have a good time because I entertained myself? Or was this a...
Or did I actually like them?
Did I actually like them? Yeah.
I know. It's hard.
Are you seeing dates? Is that what you're saying?
I'm seeing dates. I'm seeing like friend hangouts, just like groups of five women.
And no one and they're likes boring. Each other.
and nobody likes each other.
Yeah.
They're sitting there and it's just like, and like I was telling Kelsey that it's honestly like I'm at the end of my rope with Danielle. Mm. And it's just like, oh my God, Danielle was here 2 days ago.
It is another world that you're walking into right now.
Yeah. I feel I've learned so much already about humanity.
Have you interrupted at any inopportune moments?
Yes, all the time, constantly.
Really?
Yeah.
Can I grab anyone another round?
Yes. Like, yeah.
And that being like, my father died.
Yeah. Or they're just like in the middle of like trying to close a deal. Look, like I swear to you that like I will. And then I'm like, are we good on the sparkling water or another? No? Okay.
To be a fly on that wall.
I know.
I envy you in so many
ways. We'll go visit Steven at his job. And everyone else should as well. He's working at Night Market in Venice.
Yeah. Head there. Say that you're a fan of...
Yeah.
Friend of the pod.
And order some really tasty Thai food. That was my inspiration. I opened with it. But just the fact that it's like full circle moment. We're exactly back where we were like 10 years ago. And having the funniest summer of our lives.
How does that like feel?
Nothing matters. We're like planning trips. We're like scooting around with our little night shifts. We have like our mornings completely free. So we're just like, you know, dancing through the streets in the morning together, giggling, making coffee, and then going off to our little restaurant jobs.
There's something that feels so good about like taking a break, taking a hiatus from a career.
Yes.
And having a job.
That's
a J-O-B.
A J-O-B.
Yeah.
It is a career hiatus. And honestly, I'm embracing it. So yeah, that's been my little inspiration, is like how history repeats itself.
What's the saying? History doesn't repeat, it rhymes.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I think that's it.
That's good.
I might have butchered that.
That's okay. That resonates with me. It doesn't matter what it actually is.
It's always like same, same, but different. This actually could not be a better segue.
I know. Because I knew it as soon as I heard it.
No, you're right. This girl is same, same, but different.
Yeah.
Today, it's all things Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
This profile made big waves. Huge, huge waves. Our little pop star released her third album this past month. It has been on rotate at my office consistently.
I've been listening to it constantly.
Yep. Some very pointed references to the scene, people that we know, that we have come into contact with many a time. She is like no holds barred, kind of. And what makes it feel like such recent history is because she compares it to her first debut smash album, When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? She thinks like this is a real return to form in many ways. But my God, this profile. She's a biggie.
Yeah, she is a biggie.
She is a biggie. And the headline is iconic because we've read it before many times over. Billie Eilish would like to reintroduce herself. To make her best album yet, the superstar had to revisit her past self and rethink everything.
We'll do a compilation at some point of every time a star has reintroduced themselves.
The reintroductions have been abundant for as long as I've worked in this industry. For some reason, an editor loves to slap a reintroduce in a headline like no other.
It sort of like wipes away everything else that's been written about them. Yeah. And they're like, and now here is the real story.
That's exactly it.
That's why it's so powerful.
It's strategic. It's being like, okay, so like Vogue may also have a story, but this one is the real one.
Yeah.
Because we are the ones reintroducing her.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So this ran in Rolling Stone last month. It's written by Angie Matocchio, who reminds me a lot of you, honestly.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. She recently got married. She's a brunette. She's a spicy writer. I mean, this story reminds me a lot of something that you would write. But mostly she is a senior writer at Rolling Stone and has written cover stories of some crazy, crazy acts like Olivia Rodrigo, Boy Genius. Her specialty is kind of in-depth features on women in the music industry that have been forgotten about almost. She did an incredible piece on Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and Papas and actually won the Newswoman's Club of New York Front Page Award for that last year.
I'm honored. I really like her work as I like delved in. And I went to her Instagram and I can see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I can see what you're saying totally.
Right.
A lot. It's a bit of me. It's a bit of me.
It is a bit of you. I know, and I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's a wholesomeness there that just emanates through the grid that I feel.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
I talked about this with someone the other day. Journalists aren't always very nice.
No, that's kind of not like a primary thing about them.
No, and it took you to say to me, oh, like I've been hitting the circuit recently, and not everyone's like us. Like,
no.
Dude. And then after that, I couldn't unsee it. I realized like how rarely journalists go out of their way to make other people feel comfortable. There's kind of a holier than thou complex to a lot of journalists.
Yeah.
Whereas you and I are, oh my God, we are doing backflips. We are Cirque du Soleil-ing our way through any interaction to make sure people are like
greasing,
in it.
Greasing the damn chute.
Yes.
Lubing the spokes.
Making out with the babies.
Yeah. Anything to just make it easy, easy breezy.
I took it too far with that one. Yeah. But speaking of babies, Billie Eilish is only 22. She is meeting Angie at the bottom of the pool. So basically, we have arrived at the shoot for her album cover. She's sinking beneath a door, fully clothed, held down by a large black weight attached to her shoulders. It's a dramatic opening. The intro reads, she is not, to put it mildly, enjoying herself. If I'm not suffering somehow, I don't feel good about what I'm doing. What feels particularly dark about it is that the shot is...
I know what you're going to say.
Fine?
I didn't notice that she was on her own album cover until I looked closer. And I'm very sorry to say that. I'm very sorry to say that.
No, it could be like the sex doll version of Billie Eilish. Like it could be like a life-size mannequin of her. Like it's not particularly compelling in the way that you would think, my God, she really put herself through her paces for this.
Yeah. It's like an America's Next Top Model shoot where it's like you have to submerge yourself into a pond for 16 hours. But at the end of that, you're like, look at this amazing shot. At the end of this, I mean, yeah, I know.
Exactly. No, I couldn't agree more. And she's basically submerging herself over and over again for 2 minutes at a time, holding her breath for that entire duration, minutes at a time. I cannot hold my breath for 10 seconds without going into full claustrophobic panic.
Yeah.
No goggles, eyes fully open, no nose plugs even. And she says, like, if there's one thing about me, I will put myself through hell and back for the shot. I've always been like that, and I will continue to be like that. A lot of my artwork is painful physically in a lot of ways, and I love it. Oh my God, I live for it.
Wild.
It's giving me a little bit of Daniel Day.
Yeah.
Danny Day-Lewis.
In the log cabin for 40 days, learning how to...
Two almonds a day for the art, for the craft of it all.
He goes too far.
At some point, are you like, this is a little bit self-indulgent. Like sometimes I know this is coming from me, the most hypocritical thing I could say, but sometimes the easy path isn't necessarily like the less artistic path.
Yeah.
You don't have to hurt just for this kind of like masterpiece moment.
Yes. Yeah. Art doesn't have to be painful.
No.
Always.
Angie's like, what's the point of all this suffering? Well, it's for her third album, Hit Me Hard and Soft, which came out in May. And less than 48 hours prior to this shoot, Billy won Song of the Year at the Grammys for What Was I Made For, her Barbie kind of devastating hit. And she basically like stayed up till 7:30 the next morning, ate some avocado toast, dyed her hair completely black, and then just showed up for the shoot. So she has been like truly on one. And the last 6 months have also been a real ride for her. I mean, look, she was going to take a full little like break before the album, disappear, which is what a lot of artists do, right?
Mm-hmm.
You disappear so people miss you. Billy, because of this song, has just been like ever present on every red carpet. She's like, bro, nobody can get enough of me. Every second of every day is Barbie, 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 which is great. But as soon as the Oscars are over and I lose, I'm going the fuck away. I'm literally gone. So she's talking to Angie at this point in February. It's pre-Oscars and she didn't lose. On March 10th, she found herself on stage at the Dolby Theater accepting the award for Best Original Song, the same award she won in 2022 for No Time to Die from the last James Bond movie, and that has made her the youngest double Oscar winner in history. Billie Eilish is the youngest double Oscar winner in history.
I mean, the fact that she has an Oscar, let alone two.
I know. What echelon do you reach after a double Oscar? And I don't know if you remember her speech, but she got up and she was like, I had a nightmare about this last night. I just didn't think this would happen. I wasn't expecting it. I don't think anyone called it out. Like, it didn't become a gripe for the news cycle, I don't think. But for me personally, I saw that live and I was like, I see what you're doing. I see like the humbling, the gratitude.
Look away.
Yeah, like don't look at me. Oh my God, I could never have expected. But it didn't sit right with me at the time. I just felt weird about it.
No, I also, and I have no right to feel this way, but I also would get annoyed when people would like go up to audition or sing something and be like, I'm getting over a cold. Like,
yes.
I'm just like, you know, I'm not myself right now. And
no,
I
it's
would
giving,
like,
I'm not even warmed up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And something about that, I just always felt like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, you are devaluing the whole thing now.
Exactly.
The whole thing is cheapened by this.
No. Okay. Tell me it's not on par with someone giving you a compliment and then your reply being like, I'm so sweaty. I'm a mess. I had 5 minutes to do it. Like, you know, and I refuse to do that. Dude, I've trained myself out of it. It used to be my default.
I just say thank you.
But it's like, this is a prime example of like, I had a nightmare about this.
Yeah.
I never would have thought. And, and yet like, here we are.
You know what it is also? This is, I've realized it in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, I'm so sweaty. I had a nightmare about this. This is so embarrassing. Makes it uncomfortable for the whole audience.
Yeah.
Saying thank you makes it uncomfortable only for you for like 2 seconds, but it makes everybody else feel way better.
Completely. I also think we love to hear, I worked really hard on this.
Yeah.
We don't love to hear like, I wrote the song in 5 minutes, it came to me in a dream. We love to hear like, this was like pulling teeth. And like, thank you for recognizing mm-hmm. like the work that went in. Mm-hmm. Because you can bet those like orchestral renditions that appeared in, I don't know, Oppenheimer were not like a quick one and done in the studio with my big bro, like banging out a quick song. So like, you're sitting there losing to a 22-year-old. All you want to hear is like, I bled for this.
Yeah. And I'm so happy to get it.
Yeah. Totally, right?
Yeah.
Also, I'm obsessed with this new trend. I don't know if you've heard of it, of people being like, this is my What Was I Made For?
Yeah.
When I went to the shoe store and they'd sold out of my size, that was What Was I Made For? Like,
yeah, I like that.
The sale ended yesterday. And I did
Memorial Day's over. Yeah, bitches.
That is my What Was I Made For?
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
What's yours right now?
My What Was I Made For?
Yeah.
Keeping the cats inside is a What Was I Made For?
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Standing on my chest and screaming in the mornings.
No.
That's my What Was I Made For?
It's so brutal when the animals that you bought and paid for begin to terrorize you.
Oh, yeah.
You're like,
they're staging a coup.
I saved your goddamn life.
Mm-hmm.
Scooped you off the streets.
You contribute very little.
Very little.
I get a cuddle twice a day.
Yeah.
And that's about it. I get know. To look at you. That gives me a lot, to be fair.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's not a lot that you're bringing to the table, babe. So I think we better be grateful.
Yeah.
Don't say, I had a nightmare this would happen.
No. No.
Just say I feel incredibly lucky and honored.
Yeah, to be here.
To be here.
To be here. To be saved by you.
But alas, they never will. Do you know what was I made for moment?
I'm like, can I say anxiety?
Just general anxiety.
Just general anxiety.
No,
I've been feeling it. Sometimes I'm in fight or flight just sitting on my couch.
I'm obsessed with a text that you sent that said incredibly stressed.
Yeah.
To just reply like, incredibly stressed.
I'm incredibly stressed.
That is, oh.
Exclamation point at the end of that. But I'm here. I'm sipping on a powdered Celsius and it's all going to be okay.
I don't think that does anything for anxiety.
No, there are some things where I'm like, maybe I should look at my habits, but that's for another day.
No, no,
another episode.
Oh, we don't need to look at anything like that.
No,
no, that's going too deep, too introspective. Just keep it surface level.
Yeah.
But surreal moments like these, like standing on the Oscar stage and winning for a second time by 22 years old, have been happening to Billie Eilish for a while now, Angie writes. At 17, she became a global sensation with When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? And the now classic 2019 debut exposed her fragile psyche and rawest feelings of insecurity. And then Hit Me Hard and Soft just like dunks us headfirst back into that universe, from the deepest wallows of depression to the exhaustion that comes with the world speculating about her every move. I think that's a really good summation of what the album does. It is that. Like, she's incredibly honest on it. She's very real. And Billie's like, I feel like this album is me. It's not a character. It feels like my youth and who I was as a kid.
Oh, full circle again.
Oh, there you go.
Again. I know. Yeah. I love, she says, the whole process has felt like this, coming back to the girl that I was. I've been grieving her. I've been looking for her in everything. And it's almost like she got drowned by the world and the media. I don't remember when she went away.
Totally. I think I know. And it was with the bleach job.
Yeah.
That's no, when really, she went away. And she kind of gets into that. She was like, you know, I dyed my hair blonde and immediately was like, I have no idea who I am.
Yeah.
And it is a rite of passage that when you go a white blonde, like take it from like a Tom Schwartz in season 11 of Vanderpump.
Oh my God.
It just.
Write it up. Write it up.
It screams some sort of crisis.
Just like, oh, I don't know who I am right now.
Also, it suits very few.
Very few.
You have to have like a yellow olive based undertone, like a Justin Bieber pulls it off.
He does pull it off. He looked amazing with it.
He looked amazing. Not many people get away. If you
not me.
Not me either. If you have the slightest like pink kind of what is it called when you have like a pink
undertone.
Skin tone? It is undertone.
Yeah.
You're fucked.
Yeah.
It's done. You have to be olive.
That's it.
It's like, it's going to work on Kim Kardashian. It's not going to work on Tom Schwartz.
But yeah, that really is a rite of passage. And I do think it's really interesting that she kind of like owns up to here that when she was recording her second album in like the lockdown, she was just like, I don't know. This isn't quite me. No, a coping mechanism of an album.
Jazz leaning.
Yeah.
That's why Angie writes Hit Me Hard and Soft feels like Eilish's like best album yet. She's belting, which really silences all the critics, no pun intended, who claimed that she was just whispering on all her songs before that. So she's like really leaning into the vocals. And this is where we get our first secondary source, which, may I say, is an absolute A-lister. I can't believe. Also, we never talk about this, but the dynamics of getting outside sources is so funny because you go to the publicist and you're like, hey, like, is there a friend? Is there, you know, a colleague who might want to talk about what it's like to work with Billie Eilish? She offered Donald Glover, Childish Gambino.
Here we go.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
Atlanta fame.
I still need to watch Mr. and Mrs.
Incredible
Smith.
Incredible series. I couldn't recommend more. Just so good. But Donald says she understands storytelling at such a young age and she's authentic to her experience. I feel like she's living life for herself.
If you know anything about me, you know that it's been a journey to get right with my curly hair. And when I want to get red carpet ready, I look no further than Noumi. Their automatic curling wand is a technological marvel. With the click of a button, the wand's self-rotating function ensures that I get perfect coils every single time. And I'd be remiss not to mention Noumi's proprietary infrared heat and negative ion conditioning technologies. They work with your hair's natural oils and minerals to seal in moisture, reduce frizz, and increase shine. That, plus the barrels are made with 100% tourmaline ceramic, and that means I can get Oscar-worthy hair every day of the week. Get to curling, girls!
We're back on set for this goddamn album cover, and she has been trying to ease the sinus pain with nasal rinses. She's doing cycles of washing out her ears with hydrogen peroxide, alcohol. And she's like, I've never been in so much pain in my life. And it was all for the shot. That's what they say about childbirth. It was like 12 hours of horrible, agonizing pain for a lifetime of a great album cover. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sort of. Sort of.
There's not much I feel comfortable comparing to childbirth.
No.
I just don't want to touch it. Really.
No.
No.
I can't wait for our underwater shoot.
Honestly, we should do
underwater, parentheses, derwater.
That's good.
I know.
That's good.
Yeah. We may have to strike it from the record because it's almost too good.
I don't know if I look beautiful and delicate. Submerged.
Have you ever seen what your face looks like when you're inverted?
What do you mean? Like on an iPhone camera?
No, like when you're physically like...
Oh, upside down?
Upside down.
I don't think it's good.
Like a bulldog. It's all like careened atop me. I went to a yoga class and we were practicing headstands and I was facing the mirror upside down. And I can't tell you, making eye contact with me upside down, feet in the air on my head.
No.
I was like, who is this red little grub on the ground?
It really is the downside of a voluminous cheek.
Yeah.
Which I've always had.
Yeah.
It's like the eyes disappear very quickly.
Gone.
No, it's not cute.
Unrecognizable. I look like when someone drowns and then washes ashore. And they're like, oh, like the bloat from the day spent underwater.
No, I only like to see myself from the right side.
Yeah.
With a slight head tilt, with a small, soft smile.
I know.
And other than that, I don't need to know.
Yeah.
I don't need to know.
It's not my business.
We're getting graphic now, but do you look at your vagina?
Yeah, I have.
You do?
Yeah. Well,
but do you regularly check up?
Not regularly,
yeah.
But occasionally, you know, I'll get curious and I'll just be like, what's, you know, what's
I don't think I've done that since I was 22.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So you have no idea what's going on.
Well, I have a vague idea, but
yeah.
Not that far back. That's like... That's a long way to go.
Yeah.
I'm like, for what reason?
Mm-hmm.
How does this serve me?
Yeah. No, I understand.
But speaking of traumatic experiences.
Yeah.
Billie Eilish's actually biggest fear is water, which is why this all feels like such a heightened type of endeavor for this album cover. She has been sucked into the surf, haven't we all? And a lifeguard had to rescue her. Have I ever told you the story of when Chris thought that I had drowned?
No. No.
He was teaching me to surf. We were living in San Diego. It had been like a few sessions out on the water.
Yeah.
And he decided that I was capable pretty quickly. It's something that anyone else would take as a compliment. I knew that, in fact, he just wanted to go off by himself and didn't want to be held back by me and my slow paddling.
Yeah.
So he left me. I was surrounded by a bunch of local boys who were cheering me on with what I felt like was condescension. They felt was genuine encouragement, I'm sure. Like, pedal, you got this. You got...
Oh my... No, I hate... They're like, keep going,
you
keep
got
running.
You got this.
No.
There's nothing like a you got this, actually. Yeah. Tara. So I was out there just fighting for my life for a good hour. In the meantime, like, Chris has finished his session. He's walked back to our house expecting to find me there. I'm not there. He runs back to the water. He's kind of scoping it out, combing the water. I'm not there. He runs over to the lifeguard. He goes, have you seen a redheaded girl out there in the waves? The lifeguard goes, I've seen no girls out there today, actually. I don't think there are any women out there. So at this point...
Oh my God.
Chris is at this point absolutely panicking. I pedal back in to find him splashing the shallows as if looking for a body.
No.
As if looking for a body to wash up. I'm also like, this is not White Lotus. A body is not washing up that quickly.
Yeah. Did he embrace you when you came?
He was just like, where have you been? And I was like, well...
Surfing.
Are you surfing? Bitch. Try it. But she... Oh my God, I'm skipping ahead to something so fucking random.
Wait, can we talk about the synesthesia? I am a truther.
In the fact that synesthesia does not exist.
I like the idea. I think it might exist, but I just like the idea of really, of like, imagine just being like, no, you don't see the colors.
Yeah, so basically Billy is like, I have synesthesia and the color of this album is blue, and that's why the whole thing is like swimming related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Under the sea.
There are a lot of celebrities who claim to like see the colors of their music.
Yeah.
Olivia Rodrigo is one. Lorde is another. I think Jack Antonoff may be one as well.
Yeah. There are some funny ones too. I feel like... Oh,
at this point, it feels like it's kind of chic to like not have synesthesia.
Mary J. Blige.
Not Mary J.
Charlie XCX.
There you go.
Wow.
We're all seeing colors.
Yeah.
Do you think... They just have been like locked in a dark room for a long time and their eyes are just like combing for it. Like when you see like bright spots after you've had your eyes closed for a long, do you think that might be what they are experiencing?
I don't know, but I call it on all of them.
Truther. You're like, the earth is flat. We did not land on the moon and these people do not see colors.
They're just walking through life lying.
And Hit Me Hard and Soft as an album name actually derives from a conversation she had with Phineas when she mistakenly thought the name of a synth on Logic Pro was Hit Me Hard and Soft. And it wasn't, spoiler alert, but she thought that it was such a perfect encapsulation of what the album does. Like, it's an impossible request to be hit hard and soft, and you can't do anything hard and soft at the same time. So she was like, because I'm such an extremist person, it just felt like a really good way to describe me. I love what's not possible. Okay, for me, it's giving a little bit of Lana. It's like, he hit me and it felt like a kiss.
And Billie's a Lana fan, is she not?
No, she is. I mean, obviously, she graced the Coachella stage.
Yes.
Today, her, Angie, and Phineas are in the studio. And as she swivels kind of in her chair, Angie notices a new back tattoo, black chaotic lines that run down her spine. And she was like, yeah, I actually really enjoyed getting it. That shit saved me in a way. I was shirtless the entire day because it was my spine. I had no shirt on, no bra, and it forced me to get comfortable. And this really made me think of like weight loss and how kind of like becoming comfortable with any kind of facet of your body. The only way to do so is kind of throwing yourself in the fire and being naked. I think that's why a lot of people who go through weight loss start just like really leaning into like the figure hugging body con of it all. It just, yeah, it just really reminded me of the fact that she's probably never been that comfortable with her body. She now has a song and an album about not necessarily feeling happier because she's now skinny. Mm-hmm. And definitely probably not comfortable with her boobs after she's like lost a lot of weight from them. Like, I know that's been like my experience. So I just was like, wow, what an interesting take to have at 22. Like, kind of what, like, foresight to be like, yeah, I like had to separate my ego from my body.
I feel like dancing in my underwear, I credit for a lot of my body image and self-confidence. I'm being 100% earnest right now. I feel like, one, I love to dance. And I did it a lot, like, during the pandemic. Like, it was, like, a little release where it's just, like, dancing in your underwear in front of the mirror as hard as you can. there's just like nothing left to be worried about.
That's so funny, because for me, it comes back to the Pam Anderson quote, which was like, dance in front of a mirror and see what jiggles. And that's what you need to work on.
Oh my God.
I know I've said that before, but that stayed with me from the early 2000s.
Everything jiggles if you're a woman.
Not those rock hard implants, baby. They are That's true.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wait, speaking of, after we record, I have implants to show you. I need your thoughts.
That you would like to
I just
get?
Like your thoughts. No. Someone I know got implants, and I feel like you are the queen of being like, these are good ones, these are not good ones.
I think that like I can detect plastic surgery really well.
No, you have an incredible eye. You should be running one of those accounts. That's like Emma Stone.
IG famous.
Your ass.
Before and after. Yeah. Totally. But speaking of beautiful gals, we're about to meet one in this profile.
I know. Mama-to-be.
Mama-to-be.
Hailey Bieber
crops up, yeah. And this is funny because this profile is very long. And my one critique with it, because it's really beautifully written, the lead-in to get to something like this Hailey Bieber quote is kind of a huge ordeal. I'm going to read it to you. Eilish's gray rescue pit bull shark hovers behind her, shaking his tail rapidly. He turns 4 tomorrow, and Eilish plans to celebrate with a birthday hike. But for now, he's hanging here, waiting to be picked up by Eilish's assistant. I know you had the most boring day of your life, she tells him. Shark is unable to be at Eilish's home right now because of an accident that occurred this morning. Eilish made a smoothie, but the mug shattered across the floor, with shards scattering through 3 different rooms. She was particularly proud of this smoothie. Strawberry, blueberry, pineapple, and a non-dairy yogurt, which was going to accompany her 2 Beyond Meat Italian sausages. Eilish was raised a vegetarian and is a longtime vegan. All of that was simply to get to Hailey Bieber and friendship.
Yeah. The mug was a gift given to her by Hailey Bieber. Hailey says, I wouldn't be surprised if Billy Soul has been here a lot of times. That's really how I feel about her. She has established herself as a once-in-a-generation artist, and that is something that's so special and so rare. I can't imagine that I'm not going to be rocking out to Billy still when I'm in my 50s and 60s. That's my girl.
Okay, incredible quote. Lovely take on a friend. However, did we need to know strawberry, blueberry, pineapple, and a non-dairy yogurt with the ingredients of her smoothie to get here?
That was in the mug.
That was in the mug.
Hailey Bieber gave her.
No, I mean, this whole thing could have been condensed into one sentence. Like, God bless.
I think that it is that thing where it's just like, it fascinates us to be like, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow picking up Band-Aids from CVS. Stars are just like us.
Really?
So they break things.
It feels almost like the writer didn't want to skip a beat, didn't want to skip a detail. It reminds me of when you've kind of like drunk the Kool-Aid on like a star. Everything they do kind of fascinates you and can be worked in as a little color to paint this like big picture. But sometimes you kind of lose sight of like whether this is a Picasso or a Monet. If you look up close, it's like strawberry, banana, pineapple. Like, it just feels like a firm hand from an editor would have really distilled that.
Yeah.
But truly, that's my only thing.
No, that's, you know, I feel like Rolling Stone has a tendency, as we know, to go long.
Long and hard. And another thing that was long and hard was this album, according to Billy and Phineas. They call it an album-ass album. It's not a concept record, but a self-consciously cohesive set of songs that were inspired by like huge albums from the past 15 years. Coldplay's Viva La Vida, Lana Del Rey's Born to Die, Marina and the Diamonds. Love to get a little Marina shout out. Electric Heart and Vince Staples' Big Fish Theory. All incredible albums. And basically, this is to subvert the whole listening experience that is common these days of just like one single at a time. Like no one listens to the full project in its entirety. And he's like, and Phineas is like, yeah, like we're at the point as a society where we don't even listen to the full single now. We listen to the one line that blew up on TikTok, like, because I am a singer. We're watching content that was made like an hour ago, and there's no really like thoughtfulness or consideration of like what went into the art. And so in this way, Hit Me Hard and Soft is kind of like an old school comeback. It's a throwback. And he was like, I think that albums are going to come back around in the same way like watching movies is going to. Like, we're not going to be binging anymore. We're going to be really taking in the experience of being in the cinema. And he thinks that music's going to go the same way.
I love that. I love to listen to an album all the way through.
Actually, this is the first album I've been able to listen to all the way through.
Whoa.
It's for a long time. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
My attention span now is literally the size of one of Dimitri's whiskers.
Yeah. No, I know.
It's so limited.
We've really gotten dumber, for sure.
The only thing I can listen to is podcasts, I feel like.
I haven't even been able to do that.
Really?
I haven't listened to a podcast in so long.
What?
Just ours, which is so sad.
That is very masturbatory.
I'm fully on just me. I mean, I do this where I go all podcast, no music, a single note entering my ears.
Same.
Or I do all music, no podcast, and I'm all music right now.
Well, I don't like to hear my thoughts, which creep in even listening to music.
Yeah.
I can only listen to music writing.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. I can't listen to music writing. It distracts me.
Wow.
Unless I listen to the same song over and over again.
That's what I do too. That's what I've always
psychos,
done.
Two psychos same on the couch together.
Song. Yeah, on
yeah,
repeat.
For 4 hours. I'll
oh,
to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Totally burn it out. Yeah, I've done that since I was in university studying.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, I don't know what it is about it that locks you in. Have you heard about this thing of like if you're studying on Adderall and then you take your exam without it, you jeopardize all the knowledge that you have processed because your brain is so hyperstimulated and needs to get back into that stimulated state to recall all the information.
No way. I didn't know that.
It's very like Huberman-esque theory, but...
Of course. Right? That makes sense to me.
They are now like listening to the album and they make clear to Angie that she is one of the first people to hear it. They wanted to kind of bait and switch people with the song Skinny. So Phineas was like, let's do a song that is very classic Billy and have that be the opener. And then we're going to go hard pivot into like a pop hit. So upbeat, so non-Billie Eilish in every way. Lunch.
Yeah.
They're going to start with a song like What Was I Made For, which became Skinny, and then completely do a 180 to Lunch. And she is so proud of the album. She is like, I am back to 2019 me. And it all stems from the fact that she suffered this bout of depression that she describes as realer than it's ever been. This is last summer. She shows Angie a page in her journal where she wrote in all caps, I know I'm lucky, but I'm so unhappy. And that seems to be such a running theme for anyone with celebrity.
And depression. I felt really, really devastated by her quote where she says, my whole life, I've never been a happy person, really. I've been a joyous person, but not a happy person. I experience joy and laughter, and I can find fun in things, but I'm a depressed person. I've suffered with a lot of depression my whole life. When things happen in my soul or whatever, the thing I've always held on to is, well, it'll pass. It comes in waves. It'll get worse and it'll get better.
Yeah, it's hard to comprehend being 22 and acknowledging like I'm just not a happy person. Like my default is to be at a deficit.
I feel like we forget also because of the way sometimes stars talk about depression and anxiety, that it's chemical and it's not a choice and like whether or not they choose to be open with us about it. It's something that people are dealing with 24 hours a day. Around the clock.
And this is what I feel like is missing or was missing from the Kendall profile. Obviously, there's been so much talk about her anxiety. She's been extremely open about it. Maybe it's because anxiety has become more of a buzzword. It's thrown around so frequently. And depression, like, for lack of a better word, isn't as sexy in quotation marks. Like, depression is lingering.
Yeah, like I haven't showered.
Anxiety you can kind of continue to live with. And not to compare two gals with mental health issues, but the way that they talk to journalists about it, there's a real sense of like authenticity and genuineness that I gauge from Billy that the Kendall profile was missing. And I don't know if that was the writer or if that was her or how like mediated that family is, but just feels very honest.
Also, Billy isn't trying to say like, you know, but the sound baths are really gonna help, because as she clearly knows at her young age, you know, you can manage depression and anxiety, but you can't really cure it. You can't really make it go away altogether, or ever are in a place where it's like, oh, done with that, don't have to worry about that anymore ever again.
Totally. And I think that is what this is. I mean, Kendall had all the, like, the wellness tips and tricks, which didn't really ring true. And I think that's the difference. Whereas Billy was like, oh, I actively had to be intentional about addressing this. She also doesn't mention medication or anything, which was missing from the Kendall profile as well. But she was like, I had to learn to get out of the house. She realized that she basically had not had any fun in 7 years, but she kind of was under the illusion that she had, because she'd been going to like the Grammys and all these kind of fancy Hollywood parties. And then to actually look back in retrospect, she was like, I actually don't know if I've been outside for many years.
Yeah.
So she started small. She went to the grocery store, and then she went to a concert, and then she went to Target, and she went to CVS and some thrift stores, and then she started going to the parties. And this is possibly the realest, most relatable quote I think I've ever read in a profile. The reason that she felt so vulnerable, literally in public, was that she is someone who has been so associated with mystery. She is like the hot girl who is forever withdrawn, never accessible. Mm-hmm. And by showing up to a random party on Saturday night in Silver Lake, she totally like drops the veil. The mystique of Billie Eilish is no longer there. And Zoe Kravitz, hottest, most beautiful woman to exist, chimes in here and it's just like, you cannot keep living like you're this like enigma. Billie remembers her being like, why won't you hang out? And I was like, because when you get to know me, when you really know me, what if you don't like me?
Aww. And that's like the most 22-year-old thing about her is totally like this fear of being known and perceived.
The comparison that I think of, are you familiar with the Kiwi bird, New Zealand's national icon?
Of course I am. Of course I am.
You've heard of her?
I've heard of her. I know about her.
She is the most elusive, mysterious, and yet magnetic figure to walk the earth. She does not particularly cute, can't fly, only comes out for brief periods at night before she goes back into her tunnel. There are like four left because they keep getting eaten because they cannot fly or run fast. So there's not a lot really to write home about, and yet we will put them in an aquarium or a zoo and stand in a dark room just hoping that she will make an appearance. I, for one, have never seen a kiwi, and yet it is in person, IRL, and yet it's our national animal. It's like, the more someone withdraws, the more we reach for them. Like, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, the kiwi is an ugly kind of like, oh my God, I feel like I'm being to throw out the you
ugly.
Yeah, an uggo. She's an uggo. But yet so sought after for no real reason. And it's the whole thing of like, hard to get. It works.
Yeah.
Sorry to say.
No, it does work. And then it's like, you never know what to expect.
Totally.
They keep you on your toes.
Billy is kind of torn between these two worlds of being like, fame sucks, but also it's never going to be as intense as it is right now. So should I just be enjoying it? And that is some advice that she remembers from John Mayer.
Oh,
who
popped out of the woods here.
As he tends to do. Him and his David Duke cock just popping out when you least expect him. She says that, I remember him saying, it feels like this kind of fame is going to last forever, but it will go away. And in a way you want to take it in, because when it cools off, it's not going to be the same ever again. And she was like, there's going to be a time where I go somewhere and people aren't going to look at me like they just saw a ghost. And Phineas here uses Trader Joe's as an example. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, you go like once, twice, three times, four times. And suddenly like someone in the store is like, oh my God, I think Billie Eilish is here. And then a cashier is going to be like, yeah, they're here all the time. And it totally strips away that veneer.
Pops the little balloon.
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I'm obsessed with Zoe Kravitz for refusing.
Yeah.
Just being like, nah, 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 we're friends.
Zoe is just like, I told her to shut up and get over it.
Yeah.
Like, and we've been really good friends ever since. And it's actually the opposite of what she said. The more I get to know her, the better she gets. But this kind of come to Jesus moment couldn't have happened without her 20th birthday party, where Billy looked around the room and realized that every single person was an employee. she said, oh shit, I literally don't have any friends. I don't have people who see me as an equal. I don't have people who aren't afraid of me. And it was so bad that at that point in time, she couldn't listen to songs like the Beatles, like With a Little Help from My Friends or Lily Allen's Smile. Like any song about friendship made her feel sick to her stomach.
Oh my God. That's mostly harrowing for me because friendship is such a huge part of my day-to-day life.
Completely.
That I can't imagine having it just be
stripped away
or something that's not prioritized.
Never existed.
Not in the picture. I mean, she's been famous since she was a child.
Her friend Hailey Bieber says someone like her or Justin is never going to be able to have like a normal young person experience. There's a lot of normal things they will never know. She says that's the only thing that sucks for Billy, but I give her a lot of credit for putting herself out there and wanting to do things like as she's meant to as a 22-year-old woman. It just is clearly such a tug of war that she has with the concept of being famous and how much it serves her and how much it doesn't. She's really obsessed with not seeming bougie, not seeming out of touch. She goes into Chipotle. I think this is a really revealing anecdote. She goes into a Chipotle and the workers are like, dude, why are you here? Like, don't you have a personal chef who could just whip you up one of these bean bowls or whatever they say? I famously haven't tried
the Chipotle bean bowl. The famous Chipotle bean bowl merch. First, our merch, our collab.
Uncover Girl
X bean bowl.
Dude, I do not know what they serve at Chipotle. You know I've never tried it.
I did not know that.
Yes, you did, because we went in one time to get a Diet Coke and I was like, you know what? I've never had one of these things.
Oh,
what
my
do you
God.
Order? Remember?
Right, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're an El Pollo Loco girl.
Till I die. I'm now crazy chicken status.
Wait.
At El Pollo.
What?
I've reached
what
platinum.
Does that mean?
I don't know, but that's what I have.
That's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
That's what I have.
I'm not joking. That's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
I get a free churro every time I order now. It's just built in.
Crazy chicken status?
Yeah, I'm telling you. But she's just like, I play it cool. I don't have a Porsche. Oh, no, wait. She does have a Porsche. I'm so sorry. But it's electric. It's electric. It's an electric Porsche. But she doesn't have a driver.
There it is.
She was like, I don't vacation. Vacation is a scam.
We have to come back to that. I don't know.
To which I say,
what?
Did you hear about Fyre Festival just one time? And she's like, yeah. The whole thing is a scam. Call Billy McFarlane. Call it off. We are never flying again.
She should go on vacation.
She doesn't have a private jet. And so Angie's like, okay, well then what's like the most bougie thing about you? And she was just like, money.
So fun.
I wonder if she has like a scarcity mindset. I mean, I guess she's now had money for so long. Because do you think you'll ever shake the scarcity?
No, for sure not.
I know. Nothing feels real. Money feels so conceptual. Like I'm like, it literally isn't real.
No, it fully isn't.
No.
It comes and it goes.
Us thinking we're saying something absolutely groundbreaking.
I know.
Money comes and it goes.
Oh, guess who filed her taxes, her 2023 taxes? They're filed.
You could not. Music to my ears.
Yeah. Thank you for
hit
me
hard and
in
soft.
Me. Hit me hard and soft, Eugene.
And you
my,
feel
our accountant, our shared accountant.
You feel free?
I feel free.
And
I
what's
still
happening
need
with
to,
the audit?
I still need to address the audit.
Mm-hmm.
We're going back in time now.
Yeah,
but
refiling.
Yeah, refiling.
Nice.
But
nice.
All is well. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's a fundamental update. And it's also coming at a time when things are taking a turn in this profile. Things are looking up.
I know.
Or they're looking somewhere.
They're looking interesting. Speaking of looking at one's own vagina.
I didn't mean to do this. I did not mean to do this.
This is what we're reaching now. The pull outable.
The climax.
The climax.
So to speak. Masturbation.
Incredible. Yeah. And this is really what people ran with when this profile came out.
Yes.
Because sort of as we have established,
mm-hmm.
Billy has always been an unknown force.
Completely.
And this is a turn for her when it comes to what she's willing to chit-chat about.
Yeah, exactly. She wants to talk about masturbation, which she thinks is very taboo for women. Self-pleasure, she says, has made her a lot more confident. TMI... But self-pleasure is an enormous, enormous part of my life, she says, and a huge, huge help for me. People should be jerking it, man. I can't stress it enough. As someone with extreme body issues and dysmorphia that I've had my whole life. So this is what she does. She masturbates in front of a mirror. She says, partly because it's hot, But it also makes me have such a raw, deep connection to myself and my body. And I have a love for my body that I've never really had. I gotta say, looking yourself in the mirror and thinking, I look really good right now, was so helpful. You can manufacture the situation you're in to make you look good. You can make the light super dim. You can be in a specific outfit.
Nurse.
To which...
Putting on a nurse's outfit and sitting on the floor in front of my Target 1999 mirror.
A cat costume.
Wizard.
Cat. Because, like, if you're naked, then it's just, you're just Winnie the Pooh, like, just something on top, nothing on bottom. Like, I don't know, like, is she a pair of baggy pants dropped to the ankles with, like,
Can't be that.
I don't know. But she's like, I've learned that looking at myself and watching myself feel pleasure has been an extreme help in loving myself and accepting myself and feeling empowered and comfortable. Okay. Before we move further on.
Yeah.
First, we must acknowledge, A, this is one of the most beautiful women in the world.
In the world.
If she's not.
Totally.
Yeah. So taking this advice from her is difficult. It's a hard pill for me to swallow. Secondly, as someone who's had a haircut and put a cape on and looked at myself fresh from the sink and thought, that is the most hideous thing I've ever seen. This is frankly unimaginable.
You don't want to look into her eyes while you come?
Absolutely not. It is my, what am I made for?
Yeah.
Masturbating into my own eyes.
No, and I am so happy for her. I think this is fantastic. And huge. I'm so glad she's found this. Like, what amazing. I definitely think that this is not like, this advice applies to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the way that everyone masturbates is so unique to them. It's so fascinating. Also how private it is. Like, it's not discussed. So it does feel very huge that we've just learned how she does it.
Yeah, completely. No, I mean, you're right. And it really was the genesis of the song Lunch, too. She was really in, like, a self-love era and hearing one of her friends talk about, like, being obsessed with a girl. And she was like, you know, like, I get it and I want to write a song about it. And this is where we get a little bit into her sexuality. She says, I've been in love with girls my whole life. I just didn't understand until last year that I wanted my face in a vagina.
Amazing. Yeah, huge. She talks about how she's like, I use sex to decompress. Like, love the stuff.
No, she really loves. It does remind me of a certain era.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. Because I remember being 22, going to a sex resort in Jamaica and being like, I am a freaky little bitch.
Yeah.
I'm the freakiest gal to ever walk that. I'm like, full sex columnist era. I'm writing about the furthermost frontiers of sex technology. I'm just. No one's done it like me before.
No. And sex is like a sort of a radical act. Mm-hmm. I think it screams the early 20s in such a tender way.
You're like, is anyone talking about this?
Yeah. Have you heard about this?
Totally.
Because I feel like when you're having sex in high school, it's like you have no idea what you're doing still.
Yeah.
It is not radical and empowering in any way yet. But then college, those early years, it's sort of like, yeah, I know how to use my body.
Totally. Now. And particularly in a long-term relationship, it is akin to exercising. You're like, should we do it? We should do it. We're going to feel better after.
Yeah.
We should do it.
We should do it. The funniest is like when it doesn't happen, when you're like, okay, I did want to, but then I've just had dinner and it's just.
Tomorrow morning for sure.
Tomorrow morning for sure.
Diet starts tomorrow. Like, tomorrow morning, it's so on.
Tomorrow morning. Have you ever done the thing where you're like, okay, every day now, like starting tomorrow, we'll do it every day.
Yes.
Yeah.
How long did it last?
Sometimes just that one day.
No. Yeah. You're like, tomorrow morning, I'm waking up with the sunrise and taking a long, languorous walk. And like.
And then tantra for 45 minutes. You, me, handcuffs.
Alas, that just is not happening these days.
It's hard. It's hard to, you know.
It's hard to, we've got a million other things to do.
I know.
Oh my God.
But it's healthy and it's good for you. But no one knows that more than a 22-year-old.
Exactly right. But this was like, quite a big deal. The fact that she became so open about her sexuality so recently. And we've talked about this on a prior episode because we've really felt and empathized for the reporter who dared to ask her the question, how did you feel about everyone's reaction to you coming out as bi? Basically, the backstory was that Billie did an interview with Variety and said that she was attracted to women and kind of had been her whole life. And people took that as a surprise, non-surprise reveal of like she is out as a bi woman.
Yeah.
On the red carpet for Variety's Hitmakers event in Los Angeles, a red carpet reporter basically was like, oh my God, like so crazy that, you know, you had such an overwhelmingly positive reaction to being bi. Like, oh, everyone was so excited about it. Like, how does that make you feel? It was truly such an innocuous, chill question of something that was really going on at that point in her life. And she replied like, oh my God, wasn't it obvious? Ha ha. And then she posted about it on Instagram that night, the interview on the red carpet, saying, thanks Variety for my award and for also outing me at 11 a.m. instead of talking to me about anything else that matters. I like boys and girls. Leave me alone about it, please. Literally no one cares. Yeah.
I would have been sick to my goddamn stomach.
As the reporter.
I really think like you would have asked that. I would have asked that. Anyone would have asked that. Also, it's like she did the interview for the magazine you're there to represent. Yep. Of like, oh my gosh, the recent cover story.
No, it wasn't like tubefab.com asking her that question. It was the outlet to which she came out, so to speak. So it really felt all perfectly synchronistic. She now admits that she totally overreacted, which I'm like, thank God. But she's like, I'm lucky enough to be in a time when I'm able to say something like that and things go okay for me. And that's not how a lot of people's experience is. Okay, dude. Now I'm getting a sense of why this profile is so goddamn long. They have now met 60 times.
Yeah.
And Angie, I think presumably, oh no, sorry, she is. She's back in New York 2 days after their latest interview. And Billie Eilish calls her up on the phone while she's in Saks Fifth Avenue shopping and is like, hey, can we meet again next week? Because she's like, I feel like I've said too much.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to do a 50th interview to like clear things up.
She's they like, move in together to an apartment as roommates.
Yeah.
To really wrap this up.
They get married. But like at this point, we're locked in for life.
I know.
Billie's like, it's compulsive. Like, I need to tell you every single detail about something. That was part of my thing when I was first starting out. I just didn't give a fuck and I said anything. And she was like, our talks, me and you, Angie, have been very therapeutic for me. They were the first non-Barbie interviews Billie had done in more than a year. And so she's really ready to discuss the new music, rethink everything about herself and her art and kind of like what she's willing to give away. And she was like, I feel like I've been beaten down to feel this way. The way that the world has treated me has just made me feel completely anxious about everything I have to say. It's exhausting that anything can become a headline completely taken out of context and it leads to constant paranoia.
And for good reason.
For good reason. And this is something that totally sucks. Like, we don't get the cool cover stories anymore because everything is extracted into clickbait. And I called you up recently and I was like, dude, I've just done an interview and I feel ethically concerned because it was a great conversation. I feel like she didn't say anything that was controversial, but I know how journalism in the digital age works and they are going to come for her on this. Like, I know this is going to make headlines and like, do I keep it in or take it out? Even though she said this stuff verbatim, you know?
I know. It just feels like so much of this is like out of our hands, literally.
Totally.
It's uncontrollable. It's an uncontrollable force. It moves with the tides. It's controlled by the moon. Like, we can't
predict what's going to
come out. We can't predict and we can't really control where it all goes once it's out in the world.
Do you know what's so crazy? That I only found out in the last couple of days that an interview that I did with Orlando Bloom 2 years ago was the source material for his James Corden interview that next week. So you know how you have to prep a story for a talk show?
Oh, yeah.
They used an anecdote that he told me in that cover as his like talk show
bit. No way.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, that didn't really like, it was a huge moment in the profile, but it didn't scream to me as a talk show worthy anecdote.
Yeah.
So that was really shocking. And that profile was something that went really viral just because he commented on his relationship with Katy Perry.
Oh, yeah.
Like made one kind of almost throwaway comment about it being challenging at times, and it blew the fuck up.
Oh, my God. My only thing that's gone viral to my not – well, two things. One was like an eating disorder article, actually. Oh. Demi Lovato retweeted me and was like, thank you at Ivana for bringing light to this.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know. That was like my one time, and I had like a full meltdown. I had to start taking magnesium because my system was in overload.
You're like, no one make eye contact with me from now on. I am above you.
I'm above you. I'm famous. No, but the other thing was I did an interview with Bill Hader, and it went viral on Tumblr. And a bunch of people used it to be like Bill Hader admitting that he's gay, because I like something was asked or whatever. And he knew about the Babadook being a queer icon like too soon. And they were like, here he is showing his ass, like he admitted it. And it was like thousands of retweets. And I had no idea.
It's all the Kayla theorists. It's all the Carly Claus Taylor.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Bill Hader is one of us.
Gay. Gay ass. Gay ass Bill Hader.
And Billie Eilish also makes very clear, and I do love this, that she does not want to be an advocate for literally anything. Not bisexuality, not mental health. She was like, I understand it's important to, you know, be open, especially about epidemics like depression. But she was like, I don't want to be a fucking role model. What happens when I do some shit y'all aren't gonna like? And that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
And here, we've arrived. We've come. You might say, to the conclusion of the profile. Let's take a second to reintroduce Billie Eilish, Angie writes. The homeschooled bohemian who captured our attention as a teenager. She's 22 now, yet she's more self-aware than people twice her age. She would like some space to grow, to figure out exactly who she is. No label required. She is not the poster child for anything, and she is not, she'd like to note, a TED Talk speaker. So where does that leave us? Eilish sums things up with four simple words that point to her desire for normalcy and acceptance. I'm just a girl.
Amazing.
You crying. You tearing up.
I have tears in my eyes.
And it was because you yawned.
Yeah.
Because this was almost 7,000 words. No. Don't you lie to me.
No. I'm surprised that the Celsius hasn't taken me away yet.
Carried you into the caffeinated abyss.
No.
No, this was so long. So thank you, Ivana, and thank you, Akos, for sticking with
me on this. I enjoyed it all the way. You know what I'm thinking about at the end of this? I think I don't know if her and I would get along.
Yeah, interesting.
Her and I specifically. Well, maybe because her and Angie got along, it seems like. But this is also in a professional sphere. I think I wouldn't quite know what to do.
Yeah, it's interesting. It feels like even the reviews for Hit Me Hard and Soft have that same approach of like, we love her, but like something's holding us back. I mean, it's described always with some sort of caveat. Pitchfork was like, it's honest and ambitious when it's not inert and repetitive. The Guardian is like, great cohesion and it's beautifully done. But the knowledge that it could have hit harder if she had more courage, like, I totally see what you mean. She seems so cool in every way. But there's something that scares me about her in the same sense. I would love to meet her years from now.
Yes. No, 50-year-old Billie Eilish. I would love an audience.
Even 30-year-old Billie. Like where it's kind of over the hill of all these accolades, all the surrealism that has been her life. I mean, her achievements, like her trajectory to this point and that within the past 8 years is like actually inconceivable. Not many people have this kind of rise.
No.
Without true child stardom, right? Without actually being on the Michael Jackson track of being like, I was 5 when I started.
Yeah, or like on the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yes, exactly right.
It was always going to happen for me.
Yeah.
I know. She just like does have the trajectory. I think that so many young girls making music in their high school bedrooms right now like could dream of.
Yeah.
Of, like the music is so good, so undeniably good that everyone picks it up and is like, holy shit. Yeah. Ocean Eyes is the song.
You don't think there's an element of peaking too soon?
It feels like her and Phineas as a pair have enough talent to really carry them. This is the thing. I think that there is real skill as songwriters, producers, and musicians. And so in that way, it really can carry them through. My instinct now is to talk shit on a bunch of other people. Do I just do it?
Yeah.
I think of like an Olivia O'Brien or a, sorry,
that's a deep
girl.
Cut.
Yeah. Or even like a Gracie Abrams. Mm-hmm. Like there are a lot of like bedroom pop girls in the world that can do pop, that do, you know, slide into indie. And I think they've had some great songs. But I think that there is a real artistry when it comes to like the Billy and Phineas treatment.
Yeah.
And so I think in that way they have longevity there. I don't. Yeah.
Totally. Like if Medicine Bear had a Phineas, we might have been here already. But I think there's something ultimately like really likable about Billy and her authenticity and the way that she's always maintained this like, I'm not going to be over-sexualized. I'm not going to be dancing in a miniskirt. I am going to stomp around and scowl and you're going to love me for it. And I think that has always rung true for her. Yeah, I don't know. I've like heard mixed things that she's incredible or she's not. Like I've heard it both ways. But I don't really know what to expect from her really. Yeah. Would you like to interview her?
I'm okay, I think.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
No.
I don't feel pulled.
I think for you, you're fascinated by someone where it's not all on the page.
Yeah.
You like a little bit of nuance. You like to kind of crack them, work out who they are. I mean, she is just so famous at this point and we know so much about her and she's also so young. So that combination is maybe what's holding you back.
Yeah, I think so. Honestly, it's like the jargon she uses, like just like the way she's steeped in popular culture is like not the way that I'm steeped in popular culture.
She's too cool.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I'm an older woman when it comes to things like that, where I just like being around like true Gen Z personalities. Like I have nothing against them. I'm technically one of them. I'm on the cusp.
Yeah.
But there is something about like the TikTok era of like she ate with that, where I am like, I love to listen to it, love to observe it, can't participate.
I tell you what, it'll be a day that I dance and scream in the streets when Slay disappears from the lexicon, when there's no more Slay.
Like Slay the day away.
Yeah, I can't wait for there to be no more slaying of the day. I'm telling you. But no, I totally hear you. I think I would still like to talk to her, but I would love if she had like a couple of years on her.
Yeah,
it would be really sick to like look back at this rise in retrospect and be like, where was I? And like away from all the kind of yes men requirements of like a Zane Lowe, where it's just like, this is the most like stunning, outrageous, groundbreaking, never been done before song I've ever heard, you know?
Yeah.
I think it would be really nice to just quietly be like, okay, how are you feeling?
I think she's primed to also possibly have like some years of like where she becomes a recluse. Joni Mitchell has this amazing interview where she talks about how like at the peak of her fame, she like forgot who she was and like had to retreat and like bought property up north and was like, I am going to live in the woods fully, and then was like swimming in the sea and then like dove under the surf and popped back out. Oh my God, speaking of water.
Oh my
and
God.
Started laughing hysterically and then was like, okay, I'm back. Like I remembered who I was.
Yeah, it's like touch grass. Literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally touch grass.
Yeah. The what was I made for, go, 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 Barbie all the time. She's aware of her overexposure in a way that media darling like Jennifer Lawrence didn't seem to be. And then she was forced. She was relegated to a disappearing act, you know, like she didn't feel like she had a choice in that. You've
too
achieved
famous,
yeah,
too pretty,
too close to the sun. Like we need a break. And it feels like Billy is like kind of aware of that. So I do wonder what the next couple of years are going to look like.
I
for
know.
Her. I love that she's just like hitting the circuit, though. She's like getting out and about.
I know. Little trips to Erewhon. Have you had the Hailey Bieber smoothie?
No, but I had the Kendall.
Oh my God, how is the Kendall?
We shared it between four because it was...
Yeah, $27.99.
Yeah, $27.99. Actually, $23, so you're close.
Yeah.
$23.
That's so crazy.
But also just like very dense. So you actually needed to split that bad
boy. Really?
Oh,
tasty though?
I mean, I hear through the grapevine that the Hailey Bieber one is better.
I've had it. Yeah. Totally loved it. Walked through the streets of Venice with it in hand by myself. Can't remember why I was there.
God, that's a lot of money to drop.
It was.
I mean, we just went to the Beverly Hills Hotel and spent how much?
Oh my God.
On a non-alcoholic beverage for you?
20, wait, 18.
20 with tax?
20 with tax. 20 yeah. with tax at least.
It was it wasn't even a mocktail. 22
with tax and tip.
It was just a lemonade. It was a lemonade.
It was a frozen lavender lemonade, but still.
I've never seen truffle fries for $34 in my life that on that menu.
We live in a miraculous place and we'll never leave. We're addicted to this.
Just trying to keep afloat, much like Billy.
Yeah.
Just trying to hold our breath for as long as we can.
I send my love to that girl. I hope she's having a good day.
I send my love to all the Uggos out there. We love you. Rate, review, even if it's bad, we'll take it. Yeah. Anything does a little bit for us with the algorithm.
Like, subscribe, buy the Uncover Girl Chipotle Bean Bowl whenever you have a moment.
That's coming. That's coming.
It's coming. It's on its way. It's on its way.
See you next week.
Can't wait.
Bye.
Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Create the deck of your dreams now at Menards. Spend less time maintaining your deck and more time enjoying it with UltraDeck low-maintenance composite decking from Menards. It's easy to install and built to last. Plus, get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on UltraDeck and check out more great deals happening now at Menards. Save big.